As Victoria's leaders battle to set the agenda, we ask, what aren't they talking about? This is Matters of State, a collaboration between ABC News and ABC Radio Melbourne. We'll take a deep dive into the decisions that will shape Melbourne's future as it hurtles towards becoming Australia's biggest city, and ask the big questions that so far haven't been answered. Here's the ABC's James Oughton taking a look.
It was 7 o'clock on a Tuesday morning back in August when the Victorian government published a video to Facebook that would change the way Melburnians thought about the rail network.
The biggest public transport project in history is coming to Victoria.
A plan to start building a huge underground rail loop connecting major activity hubs in Melbourne's suburbs, including the International Airport. The agenda was well and truly set on talkback radio.
You're with Raf Epstein.
This panel, this idea, is such a great idea.
There's fundamental agreement about the value of having a road that circumvents the city, and I think rail is similar.
So no-brainer, we should just move ahead?
We should move ahead.
Callers gave the rail loop idea overwhelming support. Raf Epstein is the presenter of The Drive Show at ABC Radio Melbourne.
Very one-sided. Very one-sided. I tried to raise questions about process, about planning, about independent people, inside government, running a ruler over it. But it was overwhelmingly just, we love this idea.
But one issue that didn't get as much traction was the $50 billion price tag.
It's a generation's worth of spending on this one rail loop.
That's Marion Terrell, a researcher from the think tank the Grattan Institute.
The reality is that heavy rail works when you've got a lot of people going to one place. Now, the outer suburban rail loop, they're saying it's $50 billion, so that's $10,000 for every man, woman and child in Melbourne. And the cost of that is that we don't get other things that we need today.
And that's assuming Labor's cost predictions are correct.
What we do know is that projects that are announced prematurely, as I would argue that this has been announced prematurely, are very prone to cost overruns. So the average cost overrun is about 25%. And if it was only the average cost overrun, that's just, it's billions of dollars that we're talking here.
Melbourne's train network is designed to take people in and out of the city. Unlike the more famous train networks of London, Hong Kong or Tokyo, it doesn't easily allow travel from one train line to another. The suburban rail loop is intended to change all that. And while that may sound like a good idea, Marion Terrell warns there simply isn't the demand to justify the costs.
Close to three quarters of people get to work by car. And it makes sense because they're going all over the place, from everywhere to everywhere. The unfortunate reality is that most people are not going around the outer rim of the city in any great numbers as would warrant a heavy rail link.
Melbourne's population is 5 million. It's expected to be 8 million by 2050. That's the size of what London is today.
Mind the gap.
But if Melbourne is to be a London and move like a London, it needs to invest a lot more in the train network. For instance, Melbourne has around 200 trains, London 600. Professor Graham Curry is from Monash University's Public Transport Research Group.
First reaction was big surprise, never heard of that before. I haven't heard of any planning being done for it.
But now, he's a fan.
At the moment, changing our railways in small ways, our bus systems and tramways in small ways, is not enough to be London. A circular metro would change the game, and that's why I say it is the scale of things we need to do to be a London. It will change land use. It's more than transport. It will create more than one CBD in Melbourne, and our great weakness is we rely on the central area and the demand. It concentrates all that demand in one area. And I think we need to start spreading it out. We can't do that without good investment.
Simply put, build it and they will come.
What people fail to remember is London was created because it had this rail network. Melbourne will be London. We need to have the infrastructure to help us do that.
So to test Melbourne's public transport, I made my way from Doncaster to Burwood, two areas in the east set to be added to the rail loop.
I'm on the bus now. I've been on the bus for about 5 minutes and it's already full.
The 7 kilometre trip took 50 minutes and two buses.
We've hit some traffic in Box Hill, which is another major activity centre, and the bus is now at a standstill.
It's these annoyances that might explain the support for the suburban rail loop. Dr. John Stone is an academic at Melbourne University.
I think that gives the government a mandate to improve public transport in the suburbs. For a long time, we've seen governments say, well, the solution is big roads in the suburbs, and this shows that there's a mandate for an alternative.
Ever since Melbourne's underground city loop was completed back in the 1980s, there have been plenty of new train lines proposed. Simply type into Google Fantasy Melbourne Rail Map and you'll see many ideas. But if one rail project is going to cost $50 billion, or perhaps even more, are we putting all our eggs in one basket? Could Melbourne afford another new rail line? Well, Dr. Stone thinks so if we look at other types of lighter rail around the world that is cheaper and nimbler.
Things like the Vancouver Skyrail, German U-Bahn, which is basically an underground tram, or even Tokyo monorails. There's huge numbers of technologies around the world which are proven to deliver cross-town suburban travel, and those are the ones which we need to investigate before we lock ourselves into taking our old heavy rail system and thinking that that's the only solution for Melbourne. And then you can deliver much more frequent service. You can get more vehicles for the same amount of money, so you can run services every 2 or 3 minutes instead of every 5 or 10, and then you can then, and that's what gives people the turn up and go solution that they're looking for.
And while the $50 billion price tag sounds expensive, Dr. Stone says Victoria is spending that same amount of money on major road projects in the immediate future. And by the time the rail loop is completed in 2050, Victoria's likely to have spent more than double that on major road projects.
Most cities have to think very clearly about whether they want public transport to be the major mover of people or whether they want cars. And we've tried cars for 50 years and we keep making the problem worse and worse.
This is Matters of State, a co-production between ABC News and ABC Radio Melbourne. Next week, we're looking at health and why is it that per person, Victoria spends less on mental health than the rest of Australia. You can listen to the Matters of State series every Monday morning when it drops on the AM podcast feed. And for more coverage on the Victorian state election, go to abc.net.au/vicvotes.